בסדר. רב קוק סייז לייק דיס. גם בדברים שאי אפשר לתקן אותם במחשבה, כי אם במעשה, כגון בן אדם לחברו, מכל מקום אין לשער את הגודל שיש בכל הרהור של תשובה.
So there are certain things that you can't fix in thought. Right? You can't fix just by saying, I'm sorry.
Everything.
Why? בן אדם למקום.
Ben on the chaver, you can't fix it.
No,
Makom is.
If I embarrass you in public, how can I apologize that with like Tefillah Hashem or whatever?
Talking about, talking
no, but that's what he's talking about.
Ben on the Makom also, you can't fix it. You
know? Why not?
Why? I violated Shabbos. Okay, I'm sorry, God. I said I'm sorry. Fine, I didn't do anything. Is the world now at a worse place? Did I damage anybody by turning on the light? By ripping toilet paper? By sneezing? I didn't do anything. Seder, right? I didn't get up for davening. Seder. Okay, they still had a minion. Nobody cares. It's College Park, etc. Right? But Ben Adam Chavera, he called you an idiot. I stole money from you. I killed somebody. How do you do tshuva for those things? What are you talking about?
Or if you know you're number 10 and your inability to show up caused other people to not be able to have a minion, then perhaps that could also be something.
Fantastic. But even those things that you can't fix without actionable tshuva, don't think that the desire for tshuva goes to waste. Don't think that even though you have yet found who you stole from and yet returned the money, that the desire to do tshuva and repent for that is useless. On the contrary, there's great value to that kind of tshuva. Right? Even though ben adam l'chaveiro is powerful, is important, is a must, the desire for that kind of tshuva still goes a long way. Mikol makom ein l'sha'er et ha'godel sheyesh b'kol hiru shel tshuva. Don't think that that's in vain. Right? Just because Noah doesn't forgive me for calling him an idiot doesn't mean that my desire to, that the fact that I feel bad, my desire for reconciliation is invalid. Right? Afilik shuba mitzad yira pshuta, yira sa'onesh. Even if it comes from the low place of yiras ha'onish, of the fear of punishment, even if the only reason I want to return the money is because if I'm found that I was a thief, I'll be put in jail, right? I'll have a file in the police department. I won't be able to get, you know, any job with whatever. Even if that's the only motivation I have, I don't really want to give back the money. I don't really care that, Gil had to walk home because he didn't have money for the bus. That is still valuable.
Why?
Why?
The whole point of tshuva is supposed to work on like self-perfection.
That's the only point of tshuva?
That's
definitely one big, mainly major one.
But we talked about last week that the point of tshuva is that the reason why it doesn't matter whether other people, well, if I, let's say, killed someone, it doesn't matter what they after you do tshuva, it doesn't matter what they think. Because if I have done tshuva, I'm perfecting myself in the sense that I'm becoming more godly.
If your tshuva includes apologizing them, right?
Like umipnei,
yeah, but they don't.
So Sarah asked the question, so Rav Kook has an answer. Mipnei shekol midak tanasha baktanot. Every measurement, every attribute, even the smallest of the smallest, goremet le'orer banefesh uba'olam et amida hakdoshot vehagdolot. See, I might be only motivated by fear, by bad, but at the end of the day, I'm doing something about it. That desire could affect.
So it's like mituch shelo lishma ba lishma, or like actions stem cause feelings.
Yes, yes, but it's more a butterfly effect, right? It's the smallest, tiny flap of a butterfly. You don't know where it's going to end. So if you say, I'm not going to do tshuva for this because it's a waste of my time, right? A lot of people feel on Yom Kippur. What's the point? In 3 days, I'm back to doing this. 3 days? You mean for 2 full days? Right? What? That's fabulous. Do you understand how huge that would be? Can you fathom the cause and effect of that? You can't. The mida, the smallest tiny measurement, ktana shebaktanot, me'oreret. Right? You never know what is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Same way you will never know what will be the straw that will rectify the camel's back. It could be the tiniest thing. So many times, the Yetzer Hara, his tactic is to tell you, well, it's not genuine anyway, so don't do it, right? When you're ready to really do tshuva, then come. That's your motivation of tshuva? Are you joking? Oh, there's no such thing as too small of a motivation. There's no such thing as too small of a tshuva. Ve'or kadosh me'or pnei elyon mofia bekol ziv behadar ahava ubenoam Hashem al yedei kol machshava hanota letova. You don't understand. When God says, Shuvu alai v'ashuv aleichem, pitchu li pitcho shel machat, v'ani yiftach lachem pitcho shel ulam. God says, you just open a tiny little hole, as big as an eye's needle. And I will stretch that out. So big. Right? Reb Nachman, in the Sichos Achar Sipurim Isius, the Sichos, the conversation he gave after he gave the Sipurim Isius, he said that the movement of a hair's breadth in this world, you cannot fathom. Because he said, imagine that this world is a tiny little circle, right? Imagine that this world, right, is a tiny speck of stars in the universe. And you move from this world on the inner circle, just a hair's breadth. Now draw the circle of the universe around it. That little tiny movement has just moved thousands of stars and galaxies and universes on the outer circle. Right? Imagine what the ratio, right, of the cone size, right? You don't understand that in the heavens, the infinite room away, that hair's breadth, that desire of, you know, I'm not gonna say anything bad from now until, you know, 1:34, right? 2 seconds. That movement, right, in time-space, the effect of 1 second here could be universes out there in the distance. You can never understand the cause and effect of things because everything you do has a reflection. One tiny little light, I don't know if everybody had the schos of being in Yad Vashem. There's a room there that has 6 candles.
With the mirrors.
Right. But 1,300 mirrors that are placed perfectly, that you walk into that room, you see 6 million candles. From 6 candles, you see 6 million candles, right? Because there's a reflection. Your tshuva, as small as it is, has a reflection. God reflects that. Now you are one little tiny candle, one little tiny spark, but the reflection of godliness, of that moment, can illuminate the whole world. Al yedei kol machshava hatova hanota letova, afilu yesh masigim rabim. Achen apnimi shela, hakadosh hayesodi shebetocha, zehu shaveh kol haosher, vekol hachafatzim lo yeshvu ba. The beauty, the internal beauty of tshuva, even though it is covered with many little things, right? Sometimes the candle is very, very tiny, but it's enough light for you to find the switch and turn on the light, right? But without that tiny little candle, you will never find the switch.
He's saying the action, if the reason is for like a non-legitimate reason, that's considered like anything?
Yes.
Why is it if that's, tshuva is supposed to be like an inner process. Like if you're saying like, I'm doing tshuva like really not 100%. I'm doing it for like mainly selfish reasons, but one tiny percent for the actually good reason, I can understand that. That'd be like that tiny hair's breadth. We say it's completely because the law makes me do it, and it's all selfish reasons or all that stuff, then why is that considered even a tiny bit?
Because at the end of the day, something has been planted. You have made a movement. You moved a little bit. Tshuva is to return. Even if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you've done it, right? Even if I've only moved because I wanted to get more food, I did some cardio, right? Now, is that enough? Who knows, in a couple of years, if that was the reason you started moving in the first place, right? Meaning, tshuva, as much as it's a process, it's a planting process. And therefore, you're planting. And sometimes, the thing that you're planting, you might not see results. Right? So there are certain things that after a couple of months, and all the bio people can know this better than me, will start growing. There are certain things like the giant bamboos that grow in Africa, in Central Africa. It takes them years till they can break the ground. But once they do that, in 11 months, they grow 30 stories high. Right? But it takes months and months. Certain things incubate for a long time. Investments, like anything, right? And I made an investment, even if it's a poor investment, right? There was the homeless guy, it was just in the news. There's always this story that he was, he's a homeless guy, he's like, been homeless for 50 years. He forgot that 30 years ago, he had some side job, and they opened up a name in his bank account, a bank account in his name, and paid him whatever it was. It was a really one-time job. He did it one time. It was, I think it was moving or whatever. He was a mover, and the move, right? And then he found out by chance that there's a bank account in his name and all his credentials, and there were like hundreds of thousands of dollars 30 years later in that bank account from that one deposit. And this homeless guy like literally won the lottery. Now, at that time, was it matter anything? No. The investment, you never know when it's going to be. So many people do tshuva all of a sudden. They don't remember that it was something that was planted years ago. You never know. So even if somebody does it for all the wrong reasons, we can never say that anything is for all the wrong reasons. Yeah. Even the fear of punishment, even just not to get, you know, kicked out of society, that also, right, the tiniest butterfly flop can cause a huge effect. Now, is every time a butterfly flops his wing in Africa, you know, in Japan, is creating a tsunami here? No. Potentially, can it? Yes. Right? So Rav Kook is telling us that one of the things that is stopping us from doing tshuva is that we feel that it's you're wasting your time. It's nothing. What are you talking about? That's tshuva? That's nothing. It's nothing. What are you talking about? But we forget that tshuva is not us alone. It's an action that causes a reaction. And that reaction is a godly reaction. Right? And therefore, if God, so to speak, created the world in 6 days, then you can imagine what 1 second of tshuva, what cause that could have. Right? So when we're talking about tshuva, we have to understand that there's no such thing as something too small. Now, that doesn't mean we should settle for the small. We should understand that the same way there's a reaction, right? Sometimes, you know, somebody says, you know, if you donate to our organization, so-and-so will match every dollar, right? So, okay, so my dollar, all of a sudden that dollar that I'm going to donate now is worth $2 because so-and-so is matching it, right? Now, if so-and-so is also going to match every $500,000 we raise, so now my dollar is worth $4 if we reach that, et cetera, et cetera. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you take a step towards me, I'll take a step towards you, right? That's not for every dollar you match, I will give a dollar. But for every percent of your income that you give, I will give that same percent of my income. Now, I work at Hillel, so you all know what the percent of my income is. But imagine for every 1% that I donated, Bill Gates donated 1% of what he's making, Givaldik, right? Or, I don't know, for every second that I invest, you know, in here, then, I don't know, whatever his name is, invest a minute of his time. His minute of his time is worth, you know, $2.6 billion every second of his time, right? Etc. So Rav Kook is saying, you don't understand. Tshuva is not only on yourself. So yeah, so there are certain things that I really need to reach a level that I'm actually saying sorry to so-and-so, that I'm actually returning the money. There's the tshuva in its completeness is big. But even the smallest gesture is met and reciprocated. And that reciprocation will, I can be reciprocated by me to then do the next step in tshuva. And that will be reciprocated more. And then I will reciprocate that in doing the next step, etc., etc. But if I think that my thing is so small, it's never reciprocated, so there's no back and forth.
Furthermore, Cook says, something really deep. Kifi ota hamida she'adam akir et anvenatinuto habehira shel ora tshuva zorachat habehirut shel ora tshuva zorachat al nishmato. When we're talking about reciprocation, Rav Kook says reciprocation really comes. There's there.
God reciprocates our actions, our thoughts, our speeches. But in order to reciprocate God's reciprocation, we have a receptor, right? At the end of the day, in this room right now, there's million conversations happening, millions of music playing, and so many television channels. Why are we not confused by all those stuff? Because we don't have the right machine to reciprocate that. So if I had a radio, if I had a television, if I had a cell phone, I could hear all those stuff. God is constantly speaking to us. God is constantly sending us messages. But what is that reciprocator? What is that object that helps us listen in? That is anava. That is humility. Right? Now, in today's radios, let's say, you could have, I don't know, from 70, I don't know, gigahertz to, you know, channel 108, right? What happens after 108 on the radio? Well, those radio channels are what?
Private.
Private, right? For military purposes, for planes, for cabs, for you name it. Right? So based on your
status.
I don't want to say status. I want to say based on your you know, the object that you have on the different
circumstances.
I was going to say, you know, whatever. Based on your technology advancement, you can now listen to that, right? I mean, you can literally download an app right now that will let you hear all of the police chatter, right? I mean, is it how legal is it? It's a question. But you can listen to all of the police, what they're talking about, right? And if you're a great hacker, you can also hack all the planes and listen to all the chatter that's happening up there in the sky, and the military, right? Right. I remember we were in the military once, and our radio channel got hacked by Bedouins who wanted to know where we're going so they can steal our stuff, right? Yeah, it happens all the time. Don't worry, Israel's military equipment gets stolen more than. Things get stolen in South Africa, but let's not get into.
Fine, they're both apartheid cities, right?
Yeah, the Bedouins are really, you know, occupying
that,
Israel.
That friend Israel.
Oh. Right. No, Israel is occupied by the Bedouins, right? And South Africa is no longer an apartheid state. The only apartheid state is BDS. So the idea is that. The more advanced your technology is, the more you can listen to stuff. The more you can hear God, right? So based on your anava is the technology that was embedded in your soul to hear and reciprocate God's voice, right? So I remember I once said to my rabbi in my beginning of my tshuva process, I said, well, you know, I talked to God and he never talks back. And he looked at me and said, do you listen? And I said, I don't know, right? Meaning, right? Am I listening to the Chinese radio that's playing on here? Classical music, 103.5. Donate to us. I don't donate to you because I don't listen to you. I don't have, I don't have a radio. Who has a radio? We're in 2018. It's Spotify. Leave me alone, right? But at the end of the day, anava is that transmitter that receives the transmissions, right? And therefore, based on your anava, you can have a better range. Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. No wonder he was the person who spoke to God face to face. Face to face, right? Rav Kook says that you're based on the anava that you have, the light of clarity of tshuva is reflected onto your soul. Even though tshuva is not yet part of what you are, it's just something you do, but not yet are you tshuva?
But doesn't that mean that there wouldn't be any humble atheists?
There would be. No, not necessarily. Because just because I have the most sophisticated radio doesn't mean I ever plugged it in. All right, my grandmother said to me, computer's not working. Did you plug it in? How do I plug it in? Let's start there, right? So I could have the most sophisticated radio transmitter tower in the world. Doesn't help if I have a power out. Doesn't help if I'm not willing to connect to the to the source.
But wouldn't humility be your willingness to connect? You think humility is?
I think if humility is your way to connect, then yes. But you can be, look, you can be a good person and not be religious. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, right? But if you're a good person, if you're a humble person, just because you understand the value of humility, but you don't understand that that's what it's for, right? So I have a radio. I have a radio that I got from my grandfather. I just never saw this before, so I don't know what it is, right? I remember somebody once gave me, what is it? What do they call it? It was a radio. It had all these tubes of light in it. It was like from the 30s, right? It was like you had to like put these bulbs in order to be able to...
That was the computers also.
Right. And I was like, what? Why are there light bulbs, you know, in a radio? This is crazy. Right? I didn't know what it was. It literally, somebody gave it to me. He bought it in a, you know, a antique fair. Gave it to me as a gift. And I was like, I don't know what this is. Actually, I didn't have the right cable to even connect it to the radio. Like, the socket, it had a different... I didn't have to get a converter for it from, like, some antique store. It ended up costing me more than the thing cost in itself just to get the converter from whatever this Michigan thing had to put it into the socket. And then I could only listen to, like, three radio stations that even connected. Right? So I could have... But I don't know what it is. Right? So a person could have humility. He doesn't know that it's a radio. He doesn't know. So he just thinks it's antique. So he puts an antique thing, right? It's only if I know that this is a radio, then I can connect to it. So a person can be... Yeah, but al panav, a person who is humble and is an atheist, he's already ready to start listening to God. All you have to do is just teach him how to plug it in. Person who wants to listen to God, he's a true believer, but the only thing he listens to is himself, he's much farther away than the atheist, right? And an atheist who's humble is also probably a person who doesn't believe in the God that you don't believe in either. And once you convince him that what he believes in is actually God, right? That's what I always say, classic Christians stealing everything from us, although atheism, now they steal from us. It used to be that every atheist was a Jew. Now, all of a sudden, majority of atheists are Christians. What? Chutzpah, right? Wait till there be atheist Muslims. That would be a crazy chiddush in the world, right? Imagine you meet an atheist Muslim. That's like a whole different world, right? But lichora, a person who is humble and he's an atheist, then he's just not believing in the God that he's not believing in, and he just has to be tuned, fine-tuned. But a person who doesn't have humility, ein ani vehu yochlim ladur be'otadira, God says, right? God says, I forgive you all your sins. I can dwell with you in all your sins. The only thing I can't dwell with you is with a haughty person. We can't be in the same place because we're counterintuitive. So Rav Kook says, See, remember when we said, Rav Kook says, you should take the feeling of I'm worthless and turn it into the feeling of I'm an empty vessel for God. Right? When a person feels I'm empty, I can't do tshuva, that answer is, you're right, I can't do tshuva. On my own, I need to search for help. Right? It used to be, 15 years ago, seeking help, going to a psychologist, I was like, yeah, you're so weird. Today, thank God, we broke through that consensus. And today, to ask a psychologist for help is not, it's not a bad word, to ask for help. To ask somebody for help is not a bad word. In the army, to ask for a kaban, k'tzin b'riyut hanefesh, a psychologist, is still like crazy. And thank God, breaking through that. People, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay for a macho Golani soldier to ask for some help, to speak to somebody, okay? So the ability to ask God and say, Rabbana Shalom, listen, it's very simple. You told me not to desire money, yet I'm desiring money, so can you help me out? It's not a bad thing. It used to be that what? Tshuva, I'm doing it all on my own. I'm gonna do it, right? I will regret it. I'm promising I'm not doing it ever again. Okay? Now, the tshuva is saying, Rabbana Shalom, you know what? Fun fact, I can't do this on my own. Which is what we say in Slichos. What do we say in Slichos? Slach lanu ki rabu avonotenu. Because we have too many sins. If only I had one sin, I got it, I fix it. Only Lashon Hara, I could do that. Right? Only sinas chinam, on me. Only giro el arayos, I'll fix it. But what can I do that it's all of those above? And so much more. Bono shalom, slach lanu ki rabu avonotenu. Forgive us. Right? Help us. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Because on my own, I can't do this. That's my anava. It takes a lot of humility to say, I can't do this on my own. Please help me. Please teach me. Please guide me. That's a lot of humility. And from there, the light of tshuva starts penetrating into your life. And the kedusha of the exalted happiness starts clothing your body. Simcha. Instead of being sad that you did tshuva, that you sinned, you're all of a sudden happy that it's finally bringing you to a place where you need to ask for help. Right? Sometimes it's good to hit rock bottom. Why? Because at rock bottom you realize there's only one way up. Right? Sometimes it's good to be all the way on the bottom, so you say, I need help. I need help. Right? Only through so much bad do I realize that I need to grow. And doors that were all of a sudden closed are all of a sudden open. Why? Because you knocked. Because you knocked. If you don't have the humility to knock and you're going to try to open the door by yourself, you know what? Sometimes the doors are locked. And all you need to do is knock. Besof kol sof yavol l'mida al yonak hazo shekol hahadurim yitrashu. And if you ask for help, if you have the humility to ask for guidance, all of a sudden all the crooked paths seem easy, seem straight. Kol ga yinase v'kol har v'givar yishpalu v'ye ha'okev l'mishor v'arechasim l'bika. As the Navi says, all the valleys will become straight and all the mountains will become flat. And everything that was an obstacle will no longer be in your way. And that is the more anava you have, the more ability you have to ask for guidance, is the more you have the ability to grow. Right? So many people today, they have too much gaiva. They look at the rabbis as these primitive people who didn't know anything about science, don't know anything about psychology, don't know anything about physics, don't know anything about human nature. They're so primitive. And therefore, their advice, their guidance must be mistaken and wrong and misconstrued, and why would I ever listen to that? Did you try? Did you try? Try. What do you care to try? Try. Try. And if you try from a humble place, all of a sudden all the doors are open. All of a sudden everything is helping you. And therefore, humility is not tshuva, but it's the gateway to tshuva. The ability to ask for help is not an embarrassment. This world is built in a way that we're not supposed to succeed on our own. Lo tov hiyota adam levado. Because on your own, you will not want to grow. You are meant to partner up. When you partner up, you grow. You partner up with God, you grow. So the more humble you can be, the more of a kli you can be, the more you make room for a Kadosh Baruch. So if sometimes you feel empty, fantastic. So that means there's a lot of room for Kadosh Baruch. But if you're full of yourself, there's no room for anybody else. And that's why, in order to feel the reciprocation of God, you need to listen. You need to turn on your radio. If you don't know how to turn on your radio, ask somebody who knows how to help you. Ask somebody who knows how to help you. It's not an embarrassment to assemble an IKEA product while following step by step. It's not an embarrassment. Are you not as macho because you couldn't figure out how to build this closet on your own? Yes. Will the closet now stand for much longer? Yes, also. It's not an embarrassment to read the manual before you sit in the car. Right? Should be zocher. Should be zocher.